Good morning, everyone. How are you? Welcome to WCL 331B, which is titled Running Windows Intune as a Hosted Service for Multi-Tenant Environments. My name is Harris Schneiderman. I'm an account manager with Cloud Solutions. This is actually my first week at Cloud Solutions, which is very exciting. So it's great to be here, and it's great to be a tech ed. One of the reasons why I joined Cloud Solutions is because I am a true believer fundamentally that the cloud is providing a massive opportunity for transformation in our industry, and it's really exciting to be here. So thanks for coming to my session on an early morning. So I plan to cover three things today in the session. First of all, I'll start off with a brief overview of Windows Intune, both the current version and what's included in that and what it can do. And I'll talk a little bit about the new version that's going to be released in the next month. And then for the second part of my talk, I will cover this specific scenario of running Windows Intune as a hosted service for and taking advantage of multi-tenancy, okay? And then I'll finish up with a few case studies of organizations that are actually doing this type of work and running Windows Intune and managing it on behalf of customers and the types of customers that they have and the ways that they do that. So I want to give you some real-world examples as opposed to theory, okay? Feel free to ask me questions as we go. It's a nice, intimate group today, so you can interrupt me. But I will also allow some time at the end for questions if you prefer that. All right, so let's start with an overview. There are two different ways that you can deliver Windows Intune today. The one on the left for you is what we call a unified device management scenario. And that's where you have an existing deployment of System Center Configuration Manager, and you integrate that with a Windows Intune tenant. Okay, so it's a way of extending your existing Configuration Manager deployment to mobile devices which are poorly connected in your organization. So for example, you could have Windows Intune managing your mobile devices, your tablets, your iPads, your Windows phones, and you can have Configuration Manager managing your servers and your desktops, the things that never leave your organization. And then you can integrate them together and pull them all into one single unified management experience, okay? And what's great about this scenario is that it gives you the ability to take advantage of the full capabilities of Config Manager. OS deployment, endpoint protection, application delivery, you get all of that. And you get the enormous scale of Configuration Manager. So, you know, Config Manager can scale to well over 100,000 devices. For your very large enterprise customers, this is the option you're going to want to select. Okay? And of course, you get all the, you know, extensible administration tools that Config Manager has, role-based access, PowerShell, SQL reporting, et cetera. The other way of delivering Windows Intune and Windows Intune's origin is a standalone cloud-based service. So Windows Intune is based on the Configuration Manager code base, and it does a lot of things that Config Manager can do. It can even do some things Config Manager can't do, but you can run it standalone. There's no requirement that you have to have Config Manager in your organization. And the benefit of that type of deployment is that it requires zero infrastructure, and it's very, very easy to set up. But there are some restrictions to that. So Windows Intune as a standalone service is not as scalable today. So there's a limitation of 7,000 devices and 4,000 users per tenant. So if you have a client or a set of clients that are greater than that, you'll either need to have multiple Intune tenants or you might want to consider a UDM type deployment. When you run Intune as a standalone service, instead of requiring that you use the Config Manager console, you can use the web-based console. And that's really nice because it means that you can administer your environment from literally anywhere. Today's talk, I'm really going to focus more on the standalone scenario, but if you have any questions around UDM and you're curious about that, I encourage you to either ask me questions after the session, or there's a lot of great content on Channel 9 from other tech ed sessions which cover that scenario in greater depth. All right, so what we're going to talk about today is running all of your devices and managing them directly with Windows Intune as a cloud-based service. And you can see there, I've got an example with some Windows PCs and some mobile devices, Windows RT, Windows Phone, iOS, Android, et cetera. So what does Windows Intune deliver? I mentioned the web administrative console. You can see a screenshot of that on your left, the larger screen. I'll show you a live demo of that in a few minutes. And that's really the interface if you're an IT administrator and you want to manage the service, either your own service or you're managing on someone else's behalf. And the smaller window there that's overlaid on top of it is a screenshot of the information worker portal. And that's the experience for the end user so that they can take advantage of some of the self-service capabilities of Windows Intune, which I'll cover shortly. So the current release of Windows Intune provides the capabilities that you see listed there, okay? It has a built-in anti-malware service. It's called Windows Intune Endpoint Protection. It's built on the exact same code base as System Center Endpoint Protection, but it doesn't require the Config Manager backend infrastructure. So it's got the same engine, the same detection capabilities, but you don't have to run a server to manage it, okay? It can manage all of your updates. So think of this as like a WSUS server, but it exists entirely in the cloud. You can synchronize updates from Windows Update. You can approve them. You can control how they're deployed and where they're deployed. But again, you don't need an on-prem server. It has a software distribution mechanism, and I'll go through some of the platforms that are supported, but essentially you can both push software to devices, and you can also make software available in a self-service fashion so that users can click on the link and force that software down onto their device in a very simple way. Now, one of the things that Intune does that Config Manager can't do is it actually has a proactive monitoring and alerting capability. So think of this like a cloud-based version of Operations Manager, okay? And in fact, if you look at the Intune client software that gets deployed on your device, we actually use the System Center Operations Manager agent to do that alerting. But again, you don't need the Ops Manager backend. So you actually get a few extra features if you run Intune in that sense. There's a remote assistance capability built into Windows Intune. It's based on Microsoft Easy Assist, so that allows the end user, if they need to, they can click a button in the Intune Center and request help from an administrator, and the administrator can come in and provide remote assistance to them. Again, it's only on request, so that protects the user's privacy. You can't spy on them and monitor them without their knowledge, but they can get help remotely if they need it. There's a hardware and software inventory capability. Again, very similar to Config Manager. You get some very useful and detailed information about what's running on the devices. And that can include software that the user has installed or software that Intune has deployed to the machine. Okay. There's a whole software asset management module in Windows Intune. For those of you who are worried about software usage and inventory in your organization. And basically what that allows you to do is inventory all the devices in your organization and figure out what's running on them and what software is deployed. And then you can integrate that and pull in various licensing agreements that you might have with Microsoft or other vendors and actually do reconciliation so you can get a full report on what's going on in your organization and whether you're over or under licensed. And in terms of Microsoft's recommended software asset management tools, this one is one of the popular ones. Again, it's got the capability of Config Manager from an inventory standpoint, but you can deploy it and run it in a very easy fashion. There is a reporting module built in. It's web-based reporting, so you can get that via web interface. But if you want to export those reports to do further analysis, maybe you want to dump it into an Excel file or something like that, you certainly can do that. You can set security policies, so you can lock down and secure your devices. This is a great scenario for machines that are not domain joined, especially in BYOD type scenarios. And then, of course, there's a whole MDM module that's now part of Windows Intune, which I will cover now. So there are two different methods to do MDM in Windows Intune today. The more traditional one, and the one people are probably more familiar with, is the Exchange ActiveSync vehicle. And that's basically where we use an Exchange server to manage the mobile devices, and then Intune can manage the Exchange MDM policies via connector. So that's either called EAS-based management or indirect management, because Intune is not directly managing that device. And that's a great solution for a lot of devices because the vast majority of mobile devices on the market today already have ActiveSync built in. So there's no agent to install. All they have to do is pair the device with the Exchange server, and then Intune can manage that device. Okay? But the newer and I think more exciting mobile device management solution out there is what we call direct management. And direct management actually leverages a new protocol that's becoming very popular in the industry called OMADM. And many devices on the market today, including Windows RT, Windows Phone, and iOS devices like iPhone and iPad, now support OMADM, which means that they can be managed directly. Now, why that's useful is because it means that you no longer have a dependency on having an Exchange server. Okay, so you can manage a device even if it has no affiliation with Exchange. Now, you'll notice that there's a couple vendors missing from there. Okay, Android is missing today because OMADM was not a requirement in the Android platform, and so some variants of Android support it and some don't. I think that will change over time. And then, of course, BlackBerry doesn't support OMADM because they're still focusing on using Bez management. So those two are excluded. But the good news is, because we have Exchange Active Sync, that can help us address requirements for things like Android. So that's a good story. Okay. So when you enroll a device for either direct or EAS-based management, you can do it entirely over the air. Typically, the experience for the end user is that they will go to a web-based portal, or they'll load a mobile application. I'll show you a screenshot in a minute. And they can put in their credentials, and then their device is automatically provisioned for management. So we'll pick up the user, and we'll say, this user who has an account in Windows Intune is affiliated with this device, and there's policies associated, and those policies will get propagated to the device. Okay? And we can also get an inventory of our devices, so we can see what hardware's out there and the users that are associated with them. We can do settings management, so we can control the way the device is configured. We can deploy mobile applications, which I'll talk about in a bit. That's a very useful scenario. And we can provide protection for corporate data in the event that the device is lost or stolen, or the user simply leaves the organization. Now, as I mentioned before, there is a self-service component to Windows Intune for information workers. And that's one of the benefits of Windows Intune, is that it provides a good balance between, you know, IT controlling and managing the device and empowering the user to do some tasks that IT wants to permit them to do. So every supported platform on Windows Intune has a self-service experience, although it's slightly different on each device. And that's actually a good thing, because you want that experience to actually be usable, given the power of the device and the screen real estate and things like that. And I'll show you a couple screenshots of that in a moment. So what the self-service portal allows users to do is to discover applications that IT wants to make available to them. So for example, instead of sending the user to a public app store with hundreds of thousands of apps and saying, you know, good luck, what you can do is you can make certain applications available to the end user. So those applications could be those that IT has built or created for that user. Okay, so they could be internal line of business apps. Or they could be publicly available apps, but you want to kind of simplify that list down to something that's manageable. And so what's great is that when the user logs into the portal, we pick up the user's ID, and therefore we know their role in the organization, and we can detect the type of device that they're on, and we can give them a customized experience. So they'll only see the apps that are relevant for them and that work on that device. So I might log into the self-service portal on my PC, and I'll see the version of, say, the Link client that's appropriate for that, that profile. And then I might also log in on my Windows Phone or my iPad, and I'll get the version that's appropriate for that. So I don't have to think about those things as an end user, which is really great. Okay? We also give the user the ability to manage, do some light management of their own devices and data. So they can enroll their device on their own. They don't have to bring their device to the IT department to get it provisioned. They can rename it, and they can unenroll it. Okay? So you might do a device upgrade, and you take your old device and you exchange it for a new one. You can deprovision the old one and provision the new one. And the end user can wipe their data and email from the device if they choose to. Okay? IT can also forcibly do that as well, but you can give the end user the ability to do that. And the other good thing is that there's some good protections for the end user's privacy built into the portal. So that's a good thing. Because some users can get sensitive about, you know, hey, I'm bringing my own device that I paid for to work. I don't want IT spying on me and knowing everything that I do. All right, so here's some examples of the information worker portals that are available. On your left, you see the one that would be visible if you're running an RT device, and you can see it's a nice Metro, Windows 8 UI style interface with tiles, and that allows you to surface applications that are meant for that user interface. So the AppX format, and you can also surface links from the App Store. In the middle, you see a Windows Phone 8 company portal. And you know, notice there's some significant differences between them, that the Windows 8 form factor works really well on that screen. It tiles all the applications vertically. You get a nice icon. You get a readable font. So it's a different experience, but it's one that works really well on that device. Okay? And then, of course, in the third box, you see the iOS and Android experience. That one today is a browser-based interface, and you can see it's very simple, but you get two links. You get, I know it's a little bit small, you can get a support link, and you can get a link to go to the App Store that IT has made available. So again, that'll run on a wide range of devices if you don't want to load the application. Now, settings management is sort of like the equivalent of group policy for Windows Intune. But the difference is that it doesn't require any kind of connectivity to a domain or any sort of access to a domain controller or anything like that. It's an entirely cloud-based solution. So it allows you to deploy a security policy to a range of different devices, iOS, WinRT, Windows Phone 8, via either direct management or Exchange Active Sync. Okay? And it's a very powerful feature. But one of the key challenges and the traps that I see people run into with this is that they start to push policy from multiple locations, and then they get conflicts. So they'll have Exchange setting one policy, and they'll have GPO setting another policy, and they'll have Intune setting another policy, and they won't get the behavior that they expect. And that is that will happen. Now, Intune is smart in that it can detect, for example, if a setting is being managed via GPO, and it knows a little bit about precedence. So it will back off if a GPO is setting something, and it'll throw a warning into the console saying, I'm trying to set this, but I can't because something's overriding me, so it will let you know. But I do recommend as a best practice, if you're managing a policy, try to manage it in one place, wherever possible. It'll make your life a lot simpler. And because Intune has a great breadth of devices that it supports, I actually recommend that, because it's very difficult to do GPO on an iPad, but it's very easy to do settings management with Intune. Now, much like Config Manager, we give you a reporting interface to tell the administrator whether the policy is relevant for the device and whether the device is conforming to that policy. So if you try to push a policy to a device and that policy can't be enacted, for example, you might have a policy like encrypt the device. Well, the device might not be capable of encryption, and Intune's smart enough to know that, and it'll tell you. It'll say, that policy is not applicable on this device. I can't enforce that. It'll also tell you if it's trying to enforce a setting and it fails for some reason because the device is non-conforming or it's malfunctioning or something like that. So you can actually get a compliance report out of Windows Intune to say, I'm enforcing these 20 settings and 20 of them have all been enacted successfully the last time policy refreshed. So that's a really good compliance feature for devices that have stringent security requirements. Now, what's really nice, I talked about how there's two different mobile device management platforms in Intune. The good thing is you can configure them with the same template, okay? So you can set up a single MDM policy. You can deploy it to a range of devices, some that are capable of direct management and some that are capable of EAS, and that same policy can apply across both those devices. So that makes administration really easy. Okay, and I talked about some of the devices that don't support direct management today, like Android and Windows Phone 7. We still have EAS available for them, and I'm sure over time, more and more variants of Android will embrace OMADM. Now, here's some examples of the different platforms that we support for application management on mobile devices. What's not on the slide here that I think is important to note is, of course, we support EXEs and MSIs on traditional PCs. That's pretty much a given. That's been in the product from the very beginning. But we support Win8 and Windows RT style applications, the AppX format, Windows Phone 8 ZAP files, iOS IPAs, and Android APKs are all supported. So you can build your own mobile applications and deploy them with Windows Intune. It's a great solution for keeping them current. Or again, you can provide links from a public app store and surface them in the portal for the user. So that can allow you to provide a great onboarding experience. You can show up on day one, you can bring the device that you love, and you can get it set up and configured in a matter of minutes in a very simple way. You don't have to hunt for links to download things and search for names. You can just go to the portal, put in your creds, click on the application, and it'll deploy. So it's a great experience for the end user. Now, you may be aware that Windows Intune, because it's a cloud service, has a very rapid release cycle. There was a release a couple of months ago, which Microsoft was calling Wave E, and there were some new capabilities deployed into Wave E. So one of them was the Office 365 Exchange connector. So previously, if you wanted to integrate with Exchange ActiveSync, you had to have an on-prem Exchange server, and many people have that. But as you might expect, there's a lot of customers who, because they're running a cloud-based service like Intune, are also running Exchange Online, and therefore they don't have a physical Exchange server. And so now there's an Exchange connector for Office 365, so you can run the whole environment in the cloud. And I've set that up, and I'm happy to show you that today. And then there also was support for what we call a Windows Phone 8 trial. So the thing about Windows Phone 8 is the way it's built, it's not an Intune issue, the way it's built, in order to do deployment of applications and remote management, it requires that you have a certificate loaded into Windows Intune. Okay? And Microsoft decided that instead of providing the certificate themselves, that they would partner with Symantec. So if you want to manage a Windows Phone 8, you have to get a certificate from Symantec, and there's a fee associated with that. And a lot of customers said, well, I'm not quite ready to purchase yet. I want to just try it, and I want to see if it works. And I don't want to make the investment of buying the certificate. So now there's actually a way you can trial that without buying the cert upfront and validate that it is something that you really want to do, and it's a good scenario for your organization. As a side note, for iOS devices, Apple also requires a certificate, but their certificate is free. So it's really low risk. You can go and get the certificate. It takes a couple minutes, and you can manage an iOS device. Now, there is a new release of Windows Intune coming. So this has been a good year. There's been a lot of different releases. And this one is due to ship on October 18th. Which is not a coincidence. It's the same date as the release of Windows 8.1, Windows Server 2012 R2, and System Center 2012 R2. And that's not a coincidence because these are all products that have aligned release schedules because Intune depends on them to unlock some of the new features. So one of the big things that's coming on the October 18th release is the 8.1 client management update, so your 8.1 devices can be managed and we can take advantage of some of the new features. We also are able to take advantage of the new alerting and monitoring capabilities that are built into Windows 8. So it has a whole new vehicle for that, and Intune can now use that. There's an update coming for the Endpoint Protection Agent, so you'll see an update on your client. And there's some better policies and controls around the way the Intune agent is updated. So a lot of customers gave us feedback that when Microsoft upgraded the backend service, then all of a sudden the agent would update, and they wanted a way to control when that actually happened. And so now you'll have some ability to do that. My experience has been that when the agent updates, it's fairly non-disruptive, but I'm running mostly desktops, and those aren't mission critical. And some people may have reasons why they don't want to have change happen at a particular time of day, and so you'll be able to control that. All right, so let's click over to the demo. And I'll show you a few features of Windows Intune. So this is the system overview pane. What you can see here is that at the very top, you get a set of alerts and informational warnings. So this is that capability I talked about that's sort of similar to Ops Manager. You get those surfaced right there in the top of the console. My environment's doing okay, so there aren't a lot of alerts today. You also get these sections here that show you the status of the various agents. So Intune deploys different agents onto the machine that cover things like software deployment, device health, agent health, updates, et cetera. And if there are any problems detected in those agents, I will see an alert. And so, for example, I can see that there were some failed updates that didn't install for whatever reason. And I can then drill in and see exactly which machines are affected and which updates have failed to deploy, so I can actually take action. I also get A node here for all the software that I'm deploying. So I've got a set of software updates that are available, and I'm pushing them out. And I can get real-time status messages on the health of those deployments. So you can see here that I've deployed Adobe Flash Player, and I've got 31 machines that have the software successfully installed. If one of those deployments failed, I would get an error and usually an MSI code to let me know what went wrong. I talked about the reporting feature. These are some of the standard out-of-the-box reports that you get with Windows Intune. You get a nice description of the report, and then if you want to run it, you can drill in to the various options and actually see. So, you know, I talked about the license tracking capabilities. You see those down here. And maybe I want to get an inventory of all the software that I have deployed, or the updates that are deployed on my system, which can be very useful. If there's any malware in the environment, you see I've got a couple machines that have viruses. I see that in the endpoint protection node. And I not only get an inventory of malware that's running wild, but I can also sort of see this top malware instances. So I can see sort of trends and things that are happening in the environment. And I can drill in and see which machines are affected. Sometimes, you know, Windows Intune, I have a policy that provides automatic scanning and remediation of malware. But sometimes something goes wrong and the machine's unavailable. So I can actually force a remote task on a machine to get it to do something, like run a full scan or restart or run an inventory or something like that. This is the update module that I talked about. And I can see instances where updates have failed or succeeded, and if there are any updates that need approval. So I've got some new updates here that haven't been approved. I generally set up an automatic approval rule because that makes my life easier, but there's some updates that I might want to review and test on a case-by-case basis before I push them out. So this gives me the control to make that decision. And the last thing I'll show you down here, I mentioned some of the MDM capabilities. Once you enable your Windows Intune tenant for MDM, you'll see these new options appear here. You have a choice, actually, when you set up MDM as to whether you want to manage your mobile devices directly with Intune or if you want to do a UDM-type scenario with Configuration Manager. And you make that decision, and then that determines which entity is authoritative for managing those mobile devices. And then you can see here, if I want to manage Windows Phone 8, this is where I would upload the certificate. iOS, as I said, I've got one here. So you can take a look and you can see my certificate's loaded, when it's valid until, and things like that. And of course, I've got my Microsoft Exchange connector, and I can run a sync, and it will pull in all my mobile devices from Exchange. Okay? So where that might be useful is if you already have Exchange or Exchange Online running, and you have a bunch of mobile devices provisioned, and I want to integrate them with Windows Intune, I can run that full sync. All right. Any questions?
All right.
Oh, got one in the front.
With the device policy management, can you give us some examples of things that you can or can't do by comparison to, say, grid policy implementation?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So I think it's a good point to make that there's a far more group policies out there today than you have MDM policies in Intune. And there's a reason for that. The reason is because a lot of the devices that we're targeting are not nearly as capable. Many of them are consumer-based devices that were not ever really built to be managed, but they do have some limited management capability. So at a high level, there are four types or categories of policies that you can deploy with Windows Intune. Okay, one is to manage the Windows firewall and to lock it down to decide the ports that go in and out, very similar to group policy. There's a policy for the Windows Intune agent that runs on the system, and you can control its behavior. There's a policy for the Windows Intune Center, which is the client that sits on your machine. You can see it running down here, okay, and how that behaves. So, for example, I populate some support information and contact info and things like that. And then, of course, you have your mobile device policies and things of that nature. So what I would say is that, Windows Intune is great. You get broad coverage across devices, but you get a limited set of management capabilities. So the way I kind of approach this in my environment is I ask the following questions. Can the device be managed with group policy, yes or no? Okay. Is the device often connected to the network and has access to Active Directory, yes or no? Okay? And then does that policy exist, the objective that I want to achieve, does it exist in both Intune and Active Directory? If the answer is that I'm not often connected and I can do something in Intune, my preference is always to do it in Intune. But there are certain things that the only way to do it is in, with a GPO, and where I can utilize that, I will. Does that help?
Yeah.
Cool. I think there was one more. It's not correct today. So the question was, can you set VPN today? And the answer is no. There are no VPN settings in Windows Intune policies today. The next release of Windows Intune will have a VPN and a Wi-Fi type configuration, I am told. But in order to enforce those policies, first of all, they require certificates, okay? And second of all, they require that you do an integrated UDM scenario with Config Manager. So you'll need Config Manager 2012 R2. You'll need a Windows Intune Wave F tenant, so the next release of Windows Intune that comes out in October. And you need to connect them together, and you will get the ability to configure VPN and Wi-Fi.
So you just can't do it as a cloud-only?
You cannot do that as a cloud-only solution today, and it's not slated for the next release. It is possible that may come in the future, but for the moment, the answer is no, unfortunately. And that's one of those things when you're deciding between, you know, do I implement Config Manager or not, you have to make some of those trade-offs. Today, you're going to get more capability with Config Manager, but it comes with a larger overhead and an infrastructure requirement. Well, so you can definitely do some of those things in with Office 365, but I don't think you can set wireless SSID settings as far as I'm aware. I've not seen that option.
Yeah, so anything that's Exchange ActiveSync.
Yeah, you get ActiveSync. You do get a few extra policies that you don't get in ActiveSync. So, you know, I'm happy to show you an example. You know, there's more and more capabilities every day. There's two challenges. You know, Intune is very much, you know, subject to the capability of the device. So if the device manufacturer builds an API that they surface in OMADM, Intune can put in a nice, you know, box in the console, and you can tick the box and turn it on. But if the device doesn't enable that, there's no way that Intune can force the device to do something that it can't do. So, you know, you can set password policies. You can set lock screens. There's some specific things, you know, camera and web browser we talked about. There's some specific settings for iOS in terms of how it interacts with iCloud. The ActiveSync settings, as we talked about, and encryption, okay? So you do get a range of policies, but it's not gonna necessarily do everything that you wanna do because, again, that device is limited. All right, I'm gonna shift gears. Oh, one more. Yes.
But in Australia, because of something to do with Telstra, that's not possible.
Okay, yeah.
Can you provide some information?
Yeah, let me rephrase that question. So in Australia, Telstra has an agreement to provide Office 365, and that's where you set up your tenant, but they don't offer Windows Intune, and so in Australia, that's a challenge that you have. I'm not going to address that today, but if you want to come up and see me after the session, there are good solutions to that, and I'm happy to talk to you about it, but it's a great question. All right, so let's shift gears. I'm going to go back to the slides. And let's talk about running Windows Intune in multi-tenant environments. So a couple definitions. When I talk, because this can be a little bit confusing, because most people say, well, Intune is by definition multi-tenant, so what's the big deal? So let's make sure we get our terminology straight, okay? So when you set up an instance of Windows Intune, okay, I consider that a tenant for a customer, okay? When you're running a single-tenant environment, it's one customer per Intune environment, okay? This is the most common deployment method. This is the one that most people do, and it's ideal for customers if you want to manage your own tenant. So if you decide Windows Intune's great, I want to run it myself, this is probably the option that you would choose, okay? There's a range of partners out there who manage Intune on behalf of other clients. And for those clients that already have a single tenant, Microsoft released something called the Multi-Account Console, so that hosting partner could manage multiple Intune tenants at one time from one pane of glass. It's a nice capability, but it's actually really just an overlay where it lets you see all of your clients in one pane. But when it comes to doing administration of those tenants, you have to individually drill into each tenant and do the same thing over and over and over again. So if you're managing 10 customers or 100 customers, that can get very tedious. And because Windows Intune doesn't support PowerShell or any kind of scripting, that means that you're going to be doing a lot of manual work. And so that's where the multi-account console, I think, has its limitations. When you want to do something with a very large scale, there are limited benefits there. And that's the scenario that really makes putting multiple customers in one tenant very interesting. It's a really an ideal solution for managed service providers that are trying to deliver a low-cost and highly scalable service offering. Okay, and it works well when a lot of your clients are smaller customers that have very similar requirements. So instead of having to do the same administrative task over and over again, you can do it once and you can push it out across multiple clients. Okay, and that's really the scenario where I see that being used. Now, let's talk about the pros and cons of each, okay? Why should you have one tenant per customer? Well, one of the requirements that some customers have is they want granular delegated administration, okay? They want the ability to say, you know, Bob can administer company A, and Steve can administer company B, and they're not allowed to administer each other's environments, okay? You can do that with Configuration Manager. You can delegate control over a collection. You cannot do that with Windows Intune today. It doesn't have that model. So if you give someone admin access to the Intune console, they have access to every group within that console. Okay? So if you, say, want to manage an Intune tenant on behalf of a client, and you also want to give that client access to their tenant, okay, and they're running with other customers, you've given them access to everyone. And that's really a bad thing. It's kind of a privacy concern. So you want to think that through. If that is a requirement for your customer, they need their own tenant today. Okay. The second reason why you might want to use a single tenant is because you already have an existing deployment of Azure Active Directory that's set up and configured with users, and you want to provide single sign-on between your Intune tenant and your Office 365 tenant. Okay. So when you set up an Intune tenant, if those of you have done that before, it will ask you to specify an org ID. And it will say, if you're already using Azure Active Directory in Office 365, put in your existing administrative logon, and we'll provision an Intune tenant into that environment. Whereas if you say, no, I want to create a new one, it'll create a separate one. You can absolutely do that with a different org ID, but you'll have two different logins. Okay? So you have to figure out if that's a requirement. Do I want single sign-on between Office 365 and Intune and other cloud services that require Azure AD? If you do, you have to have a single tenant. Okay? Now, you also might have a customer that has some really crazy, complex configuration requirements that are radically different than any of your other clients. And if you want to do something really custom and really special, it might make sense to have their own tenant. Okay? And the last reason why you'll need a multiple tenant, I mentioned this earlier, is there's a scalability limit to Intune of 4,000 users and 7,000 devices. And you know, if you're over that limit, then you either want to use Config Manager or you'll have to create a new tenant for that customer if they're particularly large. Again, for small and medium business scenarios, you can get quite a lot of customers in a tenant that size. And I even have an enterprise customer that runs Intune as a standalone service because they have 5,000 devices. So they're perfect in terms of their size. Now, where I see customers running multiple accounts in a single tenant is when the customer wants a managed service offering. That's what they truly want. They say, I don't want to run Intune. I don't want to log in. I don't want to worry about how it works. I want to pay you a fee, and I want you to manage my devices, and I don't care how you do it. Okay? And that's becoming more and more common with MDM vendors out there. Many vendors offer that, and Intune is a great way to do that. Okay? Often with these customers, they don't really care about federation with on-prem infrastructure. Okay? They don't care about that. They don't care about single sign-on. They just want their devices managed. And what I've found in my experience with a lot of my customers is every customer thinks that they're different, but the reality is when you do the requirements gathering, 95% is the same. And so therefore, the variation between customers is not that high. So I don't ask customers, hey, are you different than everyone else? Because they all say yes. What I say is, tell me what your requirements are. And I have a questionnaire, and I take them through that. And what I find is that, you know, in most cases, they're a good candidate because I've got all the existing policies and software and configuration already in place, and I can put them in an existing tenant, and they're up and running in minutes. Okay? One of the big time savers of running multiple customers in one tenant is the software deployment piece. So I'll give you an example. Pretty much every customer I work with runs Java. Okay? They all run Java, and it's the same Java. Okay? If I had 10 clients, I would have to download Java, package it 10 times, upload it 10 times, deploy it 10 times, which can be very tedious. If I run it all in one tenant, I can push it out in one shot to all of my clients very easily. I can stagger that migration if I want to. I can schedule it. If some clients say, no, I want it to happen Saturday night. No, I want it to happen Tuesday morning. I can do that. But it saves me a lot of time having them in one tenant. There's no way to copy settings, configuration, and policies from one tenant to another. So if you're doing the same thing hundreds and hundreds of times, save yourself the headache and don't do that. Now, another issue when you're running multiple customers in one tenant is customers oftentimes will want to bring their own domain. Okay, so when you set up Intune by default, it's very much like Office 365. It gives you a default domain, which is something.onmicrosoft.com. Most customers have their own domain. They want to bring that in, and that's fine. You absolutely can do that, just like you can with Office 365. The benefit of having a custom domain is that it provides a much better user experience, because users can log in with a set of credentials that they actually know and that they're familiar with. And that's a good thing. In order to import a custom domain, you have to go through a domain verification process, just like with Office 365. You have to prove that you own that domain, and you do so by adding a special record into DNS that Windows Intune will detect, and it'll say, you are in fact the owner of that domain because you can add a record into it. Okay? It's identical to how you've done it in Office 365. If you already have an Office 365 tenant and you've already imported your custom domain, you don't need to do anything. You can set up Intune and it'll have that domain available. But the key thing is that you can only have a given domain in one instance, in one tenant. So if you've got an Office 365 tenant with your custom domain, contoso.com, and you want to create a totally different Intune tenant on a different Azure AD instance, you will not be able to import that domain there. It can only be in one place. So again, if having that custom domain is important and it's already in use, then you want to create a tenant for an Intune using the same org ID, or else you'll get an error and it won't work. Okay, so let me show you how that would work. For those of you who run Office 365, this should be really familiar. If you look in here, what you'll see is that, let me log back in. You'll see an interface here. There, under management, there's an option for domains. And what you see there is that I've got my default onmicrosoft.com domain that was set up initially when I provisioned it. Then I've imported my own custom tenant, so I've a custom domain, which is htechsolutions.biz. I've also done www.htechsolution.biz, which I use for my SharePoint online website. But then I have another company's domain imported into my environment, a company called Five9s from one of my colleagues. And Five9s is sharing this tenant, and so I can actually create accounts using his domain. So I'll show you an example of that. If you go into users, what you'll see is that I have a whole bunch of users that have my custom domain, htechsolutions.biz, but my colleague Glenn has a Five9s domain. And so he wanted to use his domain instead, and I said, no problem, you can do that. All we had to do was go through verification. It wasn't being used anywhere else, and so that was a totally valid option.
But only one of your two is actually administering the whole thing.
Actually,
only one of your two is administering the whole thing.
Yeah, so the question is, are only one of us administering? So I'll show you, I'll get to administration in a moment. But essentially, I could set up someone in his organization to be an administrator as well. But we have to trust each other, because he can administer my people, and I can administer his people. So that's one of the key things. So either I would run the whole thing on his behalf. That's one valid model, that I'm a provider for him, and he trusts me, and I run it for him, and he pays me for it. Or we can share, if we can coexist. It's the whole, two roommates sharing an apartment. You have to get along. You have to have trust and agree on things, and sometimes that works.
Have you got any idea when true multi-tenancy is going to happen? Because that just wouldn't work for 99% of organizations out there.
No, you're absolutely right. So the question is, when is true multi-tenancy going to happen because it doesn't work for 99% of organizations? I think that's a valid point. Again, I think the scenario here is that I'm providing a managed service on behalf of multiple clients. That's really the only scenario that works today because of privacy issues, because of security, because you're right. The service is really not built for multi-tenancy. I know you're probably interested in 365. 365, I'll cover that a little bit later. That's an even more interesting story. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That is a limitation, and the service is not really truly built for that. I hope it's something that Microsoft will focus on because I think there's a real benefit in those scenarios to do that. And you know, scalability and low cost is the promise of cloud, and so you have to engineer the service to do that. Now, one of the key things, this is my trick. If you really want to do this well, the place where you want to put the majority of your effort and thinking into is the structure of your groups. That is the key to managing multiple clients well and also not screwing up and making mistakes. So one of the things that I do, just like when you design group policies in Active Directory or you set up configuration manager collections, you want to set up a good group structure that reflects the structure of your company and the companies that you manage. Okay, so I'll show you this in a moment, but essentially what I do is each company gets their own group, and sometimes they even get subgroups to reflect the structure of their organization. And I use that so that I know when I'm managing a device, I know what part of the organization that it's in. If these customers are not doing synchronization from their AD, then it's really important that I get that right and that I work closely with the client up front to make sure that I have accurately captured the way their organization works so that I can administer it effectively. So I set up their company structure. So sometimes I do it based on company, and other times I do it based on location. And there are valid reasons for doing either one. Maybe they have an office that has different requirements or something like that. I also create my policies based on that structure. So a company might require multiple policies, and I want to apply those policies to different parts of their organization. So maybe they have a group of executives, and they want those executives' machines to be heavily secured. Or maybe they have a corporate policy, and they have exceptions, and they say, well, we don't allow these devices, but certain people can get them, and things like that. You can set that up. I also set up groups based on the deployment of updates. So for some of my clients, you know, they're perfectly happy for me to, you know, test and approve the updates and push them out, and they don't care. Other companies say, no, we do our updates on a specific date, and we want to have control, and we want to test and approve them before you do that, and that's absolutely fine. And then finally, software deployment. So I also create groups based upon various software packages that you get. So I create a group, I apply the software package to the group, and then I put the device into the group so that they can get that software. I'll show you a quick demo of how I've done that. I think there's a lot of ways that you can do this. I don't think there's necessarily one right way, but I'll show you an example of how I've done it. So I've created a group that I call Managed Computers or Managed Devices. And then underneath that group, so those are all the devices that I'm actively managing with policy. And then under that, I've created some companies, which I've made generic for the purpose of this. So, you know, I've got the standard Microsoft AdventureWorks and Prosware and Contoso. And you can see for each of these groups, there's a certain number of devices in them which represent that organization, and I get a nice sort of heads-up view of that company and how they're doing, and then I can drill into that if I need to and get more information about what's going on in that environment. Okay? I also, as I said, have groups based upon location. So sometimes, you know, I want to know all the machines that I have in Melbourne, or I'm doing something specific for those machines, and I've got a group for that, or New York, or something of that nature. And then finally, I have groups, as I said, for software. So for all my machines that are getting Java updates, I have a group here for that. For all my machines that get Adobe Flash Player, I have a group for that. So I can quickly go in, look at the group membership, and determine, you know, is this machine getting that policy, and is that policy working, and have I done that properly? So I try to track that, and I have a pretty good organizational structure, and that makes troubleshooting issues much, much easier. Now, you don't need to create groups. You could, you know, deploy policies to individual systems if you really wanted to, but that just becomes an absolute mess.
We're talking about linking into ID. Can you link different groups to different ID structures?
Yeah, so when you do a directory sync, I don't do a lot of that because often, sometimes the company's AD structure is not necessarily relevant to me or interesting. You can synchronize Active Directory groups. You can't synchronize OUs. And that's a bit different, because what most companies, that's how they organize things. And so that's why their organization structure doesn't really help me so much. Sometimes I'll build an equivalent to that, but if they move someone from this OU to that OU, I won't be able to know that from DIRSync, okay? But that's a good question. All right, so we talked about delegated administration. It's very limited in Windows Intune today. There are essentially two types of administrators in Windows Intune. There's what we call a tenant administrator, okay? They have full admin rights to the console, okay? And they can perform pretty much everything, okay? You assign them in the Windows Intune account portal, not in the management portal, and I'll show you where you set that up. We also have service administrators, and there's two variations of that. There's a full service administrator, and then there's a read-only administrator. So full access service administrators can actually make changes in the console, and read-only administrators can only view, okay? So you can give someone rights who's in kind of a, you know, level one type support role to get view access to the console, and they can see some basic things, but they can't actually make changes. But you cannot limit what they can see. So unlike in Config Manager 2012, where I can assign permissions to someone and they only see the nodes and collections that they have control over, you can't do that in Windows Intune. There's no way to hide that information from people today. And so you have to know when you're giving someone access, you're giving them the access to at least see everything and maybe, possibly, control everything. So if you really want that delegated administration, use Config Manager 2012 and do UDM. I'll show you quickly where you set that up. Okay, so if I go into, let's just look at my account. All right, so what you notice here is that I am set up as a global administrator for my own company, and because I'm a Microsoft partner and I can do delegated support for other companies, I'm also a full administrator for any company that has given me the right to support their own tenant, okay? And obviously you can control that. There's a nice little drop down here. I can give limited or full administration. So that gets set up in the admin, the account portal for Windows Intune. And then if I come in here and I go under the administration node, if I look under service administrators, or sorry, tenant administrators, you'll notice that the two admins are in there, okay? That I've set up. It's a best practice to always have two admins in case one of them gets locked out. That's a good thing to do. But again, you have to have someone that you trust. Now you notice it even tells you here, it's very clever, it says, you cannot manage tenant administrators in the Intune administrator console. You have to sign into the account portal. So whatever I put in the account portal actually gets pulled into here. Now if I want to set up additional service administrators, this is where I configure them. I click add. I specify their user ID, which is effectively their org ID, and I can determine if they should have full access or read-only access. And I can set up as many of them as I want. So it's pretty simple to do, but you just got to know when you're actually giving someone that right, what is it that you're giving them permission to do? Now, this is a topic you'll probably enjoy. A lot of customers, as I said, who run Windows Intune run Office 365. That's a great scenario because they use the same identity store, which is Azure AD, and that enables you to have single sign-on between them. And that is, I think, the intention that Microsoft has always had, which makes sense. And it's very simple to configure a single tenant for Intune and Office 365. You can have them set up in a matter of minutes. If you're thinking about having multiple customers running in the same Intune tenant, you want to think about whether or not they already have or are planning to run Office 365, because there are some issues, in my opinion, that would make multi-tenant running of Office 365 unpalatable. Okay? This is my list. If you've tried this before, you might have your own list, and I'm always looking for feedback. But first and foremost, there's really no way to segment the GAL by customer. So if you have multiple customers running in the same Office 365 tenant, and they open their address book in Outlook, they're going to see everyone. Okay, and that makes sense generally when you're in one company, but you might also see phone numbers, emails, and names of people in another company, and that's really a bad thing from a privacy scenario. So for me, that's pretty prohibitive. So sometimes you might have closely affiliated companies that partner together and they want to collaborate, and that might work, but I think that's a limited type of scenario. Most companies wouldn't like their details visible to somebody else. And unfortunately, that's just a limitation of 365 today. The other limitation that can be challenging is you can only have one public website per Office 365 tenant. Okay, so you can import multiple domains, but you can only have one public website. So if two companies both want their public website in Office 365, they have to have their own tenant. Okay, and unfortunately, you can't even pay for an extra website. It's just not allowed. It's a limitation. Okay, and again, I mentioned custom domain can only be imported into one tenant. We talked about that, right? So if you're running Office 365 in one tenant and you're running Intune in another tenant, you won't have single sign-on between them. You'll have separate credentials. Any questions? Okay. Now, I want to go through a couple of case studies for you to talk about some real-world customer scenarios where this is being used. First company I want to talk to is a company that I run called HTech Solutions. HTech Solutions is all about providing low-cost PC and device management and security to consumers and to small and medium businesses. Okay? They're a Microsoft-certified small business partner, and they run their business globally. So they have customers in the US, in the EU, and Australia. And the standard offering of HTech Solutions is using Windows Intune as a multi-tenant service. So a lot of the clients are very small. They might have 5 PCs, anywhere from 5 to 50 PCs. And a lot of the requirements across customers are the same. So running that service, running multi-tenant, makes a lot of sense and works very well. Those customers don't have an IT staff. They don't want to administer their tenant. They don't want to log in. They don't care. They want their PCs to be secured, and they want to pay someone to do it. That's a great scenario for running multiple customers on the same Intune tenant. Okay? So some of my key, target customers that I might see in a managed service, I get a lot of consumers who have recently purchased a new PC, and they say, I've got a new PC. I want to secure it. I want to get it set up. I want to get all my software provisioned. Now, I could go to their house and set that up and spend hours doing that. That's kind of tedious from my perspective. And many of my clients live overseas, so that really wouldn't work. But what I can do is I can say, install this agent on your machine and just walk away. And Windows Intune does all the work. They can go to bed, and all the software gets provisioned and deployed, and they wake up the next day, and their system's all ready to go. So that's really nice. I also have a lot of customers that they're very heavily dependent on their computers, but they're not very tech savvy. And these could be people like a lot of professionals like accountants, and lawyers, and investment management people, and things like that, and they really depend on their machines, but they're not computer people, and they don't want to be computer people. Big scenario is consumers who have multiple devices that need to be secured. So this proliferation of devices is huge, and I get big requests to say, how can I get all my devices and set up and configured, and I want all my data synchronized across them, and various things like that. And Windows Intune is great for that because each license is user-based, and it provides management of up to 5 devices. So I encourage customers. They start often with their PC, and then I say, by the way, do you have a tablet? I can manage that too, no extra charge. Oh, you have an iPhone, great, bring it along, and I can manage all those things. I have a lot of customers who are seniors, and they're not very familiar with their computers. Technology can often be a challenge, but I give them a lot of credit because they really want to get into technology, they want to communicate with their grandkids, they want to use the latest software, but they don't really have an IT department to help them. So I can help them in a very scalable way. And of course, many, many small businesses of 50 clients or less that have no dedicated IT staff, and they can't afford an IT staff. So there's a lot of interest in that. Now, let's talk about a large enterprise scenario. So I work for Cloud Solutions, as I mentioned. Cloud Solutions has a broad portfolio of offerings that span across different cloud technologies. So you can see a summary of that here. We have a practice in social enterprise and communication, which focuses on things like Office 365, SharePoint Online, Link, Exchange, et cetera, and Yammer. We have a whole practice around development and integration, which focuses on things like Azure, custom application development, BizTalk, et cetera. Provide cloud infrastructure for public cloud and hybrid cloud. So Windows Azure, infrastructure as a service, StorSimple, AWS. We have an identity management practice that focuses on helping customers that need to deal with identity challenges around FIM and ADFS. And obviously, for customers that are moving to the cloud or planning to move to the cloud, identity is really, really important that you get that right. And then, of course, we have a managed services offering that provides proactive and reactive support for customers that have already migrated to the cloud. And that's very focused on the large enterprise, and that's what I'm going to talk through now. So what is managed services all about? It's about focusing on providing real business benefit to clients by proactively improving the reliability, the performance of, and performance of the service, and recommending enhancements along the way. So it's about keeping the service running, but also improving it as you go and keeping it healthy and making it better and better over time. There's a lot of clients that are now starting to adopt Windows Intune in the enterprise. Okay, I would say many are adopting it as a supplementary tool to their existing management tool. So maybe they've extended Configuration Manager and they're using Intune to reach their mobile devices. Or in some instances, we actually have customers that are running Windows Intune as their default management solution because they have a very globally distributed workforce and the ability to provide infrastructure in those remote locations just doesn't make sense. Maybe they have thousands of small offices scattered all over the world. So it's very beneficial to have a cloud service like Windows Intune. And Cloud Solutions' philosophy is to use public cloud technologies to improve business outcomes for customers, to improve their user experience, and the reliability of the service. Okay? And Intune enables this by providing a very low overhead to implement, very rapid deployment, and it's an evergreen service like all cloud services. And so customers get the immediate benefit from technology upgrades. So as I said, there's a new release coming in October. Okay, at some point after that release is available, customers' tenants will get automatically upgraded and they'll get the new capabilities that are coming. So why does that matter? Well, you know, Config Manager is getting a lot of great capabilities as well, but if you're running Config Manager, that's a project and that's an upgrade that you have to do and that can take months and it can take a lot of resources. And that's on you if you're the one managing that environment. Whereas if you're running Windows Intune, that's Microsoft's problem, and they'll do that upgrade for you, okay? Of course, you can integrate Windows Intune with on-prem infrastructure. This is a very common scenario that Cloud Solutions deals with. So customers want to integrate with their AD. We talked about that before. ADFS, SCCM, Exchange, et cetera, all those things are possible and very common things that we do. We also use Windows Intune as a tool to deliver managed services to clients. So a lot of clients tell us, you know what? Managing PCs and mobile devices, that is not our core business, okay? And we don't care about that. We just want it done well, and we want someone who knows what they're doing to do it for us, okay? And many customers, particularly with this proliferation of devices, it becomes critically important, all right? They also are now getting into an area where they're providing more and more mobile apps because they're trying to enable BYO, and so they need to find ways to keep their users productive. And so they're saying, you know, how do I keep my mobile apps updated? I need a good vehicle to do that. I need an MDM solution, and Windows Intune is a great, great service for that. They're also worried about compliance and device health. They're worried about people that come and go in their organization and about whether their data and IP is walking out the door. So providing that management solution and providing some control is a great solution and is a very common scenario for customers that are looking for that managed service. And the technology moves very quickly, and so these companies say, you know, rather than continually hiring people and trying to keep up with this trend, let's get a company like Cloud who knows this well and can do it for us. So for customers that want to transition from having, say, you know, traditional environment that they're running themselves to a managed service environment, we take them through a process, right? We sit down with them and we try to understand their current state. What do they have today? What's out there in the environment? What's happening? And then we sit down and we figure out what are their goals? What are they trying to achieve? What are the risks that they're trying to mitigate? And what type of experiences do they want to deliver to their end users? And then based on that, we build an implementation plan that takes a set of phases that we define for that customer. Phases to get them migrated into the cloud if they haven't done that already, or into a hybrid environment. And then also a phased implementation whereby we start to take over the management of that environment step by step and get integrated with the way that they do work. And a lot of that, and a lot of managed services, it's all about operational process development, okay? Sometimes clients that we have a process in place and they know what they're doing and we simply take over that. But more often than not, they don't have a fully baked process because it's a new capability that they're looking for. You know, they don't have a policy around managing iPads. And so we help them write that policy and then implement it. So, you know, how do we handle patch approvals? How do we do virus management? How do we do software asset management? How do we do remote support? What are all those support processes that need to be put in place? And then we build those policies for the customer, and then we run them. Again, why manage services? These companies want to focus on their core business. Managing devices is not part of that for the vast majority of companies. These companies, they want to take advantage of a collective learned experience. They're looking for best practices. They're looking for a company that's done it many, many times before, so they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They want economies of scale. They want to benefit, you know, the benefit of managed services is that a company can do this in a highly scalable way and bring down the cost versus managing it in-house. And that's really, you know, one of the key benefits of cloud. Some companies just need supplementary resources. They have a good help desk and they have good support in place, but they want a particular workload managed, so someone who can augment their workforce. Or they need an additional skill set that they don't have in-house. And they're looking for best practices as well. So these are all reasons why some of our clients choose managed services. This is sort of the process that cloud would take a customer through. So many customers will start with a project or a consulting engagement. And as that project starts to wind down, it moves into a stabilization phase from a build and deploy phase. And during that process, we do a seamless handover from our consultants that are doing the implementation and stabilization, and we start to transition that service to a managed service where we can provide support and ongoing operations of that environment. So those two teams work very closely together, and that way it's not, you know, throw it over the wall, good luck, but that we actually have a good transition into different phases of that project. All right. So I've pulled together some related content from TechEd. I recognize that it's Friday, so some of these sessions may have already happened. You may have attended them. I hope you enjoyed them. If you haven't attended them, many of them will be available online, and you can watch them after the fact. But these are some that are related to some of the topics that I touched on, but didn't necessarily really go deep on because of time. So I definitely encourage you to look that up. I'd also would encourage you to visit the Cloud Coffee Cart, which is just upstairs at the top of the escalator. If you haven't had a free coffee, come on by. If you have had one, come by again. We're running a contest to give away an Xbox One, which is very exciting, not a 360, the new one. And one of the things that you have to do to enter that contest is you have to get signatures from the four cloud presenters at TechEd. I am one of them. So if you want to win that contest, you're going to need my signature, and you're welcome to come by after the session. I'll stick around for a couple minutes, or you can come up the stairs, and I will be there, and you can get my signature. The contest closes at 5 o'clock, I believe, so that's your last chance to enter. Or you can just come up and get a coffee. I've also pulled together some track resources. So these are reference material that you can find online that can be helpful. You can download the deck afterwards and get a copy of that. It gives instructions on a number of things. I've got a few slides here that I will not read, but you can see at your leisure. I would also encourage you to complete your session evaluation. This is an entirely original session. I wrote it myself. I love feedback, good and bad, and I'd like to present at TechEd again, so please give me feedback. This is my third year, and I really enjoy it. There is a possibility that if you do your session eval, you will win a Sculpt Bluetooth mouse or a Comfort mouse, which is very attractive. You can see it here, and I hope that you win. Some great resources as well. So I talked about Channel 9. That's our online video recordings of these sessions. You can go on there and watch them. TechEd North America and Europe are up there as well. So some great sessions you might want to look at. Of course, TechNet, Microsoft Virtual Academy, there's some fantastic training up there. And of course, MSDN are all good resources. Now with that, I got about 5 minutes left. So I want to open it up for any questions, comments, or just general concerns. And thank you very much for attending.